Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Broadcasting from the Shaw Star Market Studios, the exclusive home for the return of Red Sox baseball in Boston. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence Boston, a radio.com sports station.
This hour of the Gray Hill Morning Show brought to you by Cars for Kids, your number one charity for car donations.
Can you use a positive COVID test as an excuse to stay home from work and watch the Bruins at 11 o'clock today?
Oh, good call.
Is that all right?
Mm. That's what Keith's done for 3 weeks now.
This is Mark from Rhode Island. What's going on, Mark?
Good morning to you. How are you?
How are you?
Mm-hmm. I'm good. Well, I'm a little warm, but we're getting through all that.
Yeah.
I had to weigh in on the Matt Light mask thing.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. I used to work at a large millwork company, and in that millwork company, we had a spray department. And in order to go in the spray department, you had to wear a respirator.
Yeah.
So that meant we had to be trained by registered nurses. And what they would do was go in and they would perform a test. So they taught us the difference between a particular mask or just a carbon fiber mask or something like that, or a full respirator. And there's a test that you can do that'll prove that you'll know whether or not a cloth mask will work or not. And what they do is they put the mask on you, they blindfold you, and then they'll spray like a room freshener, say a citrus room freshener or something like that. And if you can smell that, then that means you're smelling the same size particles that would be in paint or in Corona droplets.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
Yeah.
So if people put masks on, it's not doing them any good. The only thing that will stop you and prevent it and help you is a full respirator. And that said, if you have a beard, even a respirator won't help you because you have facial hair.
Yeah. I mean, but again, you're going to be called irresponsible. I mean, Matt Light has not been able to emerge from his home yet after yesterday's comments.
I know.
I get that.
And
people are very upset with what he said on the show yesterday.
Is he?
The science is real clear on masks, right? It has no real effect. It makes you feel comfy and warm inside, maybe, but it doesn't do anything, in the grand scheme of things.
Is he hiding in the tank?
I don't know.
Hayden Bird egged his house twice this morning.
Oh, no.
Mustache.
Well, maybe people, when it comes to science, maybe what Matt Light is trying to suggest is that it's not the science of it, it's the actual data, and that one is never sure of the data. And I'll tell you what I have uncovered, thanks to an informant. We'll call our informant Deep Mask in Southie.
Okay.
So,
or his initials CC?
Oh, boy.
No, this did not come from Curtis.
And I want everybody in the city to listen to this, and everybody that has a bone of journalistic integrity in their body to try and get to the bottom of what Greg is about to discuss.
Yeah. Do you think they will?
I'm going to the kitchen.
I'm hopeful. I don't think they will.
I'm coming with you.
But thanks to my informant, I stumbled on to the South Boston Community Bulletin Facebook page yesterday.
Did that completely wreck your entire day because it's a time suck that you couldn't get out of it?
Yes, yes. And it appears that individuals who made appointments last week for the free COVID testing and were, for whatever reason, unable to show up for that appointment, then were notified via email or maybe even snail mail that they had tested positive.
Interesting. So, how'd they get all their info?
What do you mean?
Like, how did they get the, if you just called to make an appointment? Like, I'm curious, do you have to give your...
Yeah, you give all the information. So you call, you make an appointment, you give them your information, and then you don't show up for your appointment, and then you are notified that you have tested positive.
You're a COVID death?
So how...
That's sketchy. That's very sketchy.
How often would you guess that this happens? Or would you guess that everybody who goes and gets a test... Mm-hmm. is somehow assumed to be positive and then notified that they're a positive COVID test?
Happens after Bruins losses?
How would you suggest your source is
the South Boston Facebook community page.
Yes.
How many claim that they've...
There's several individuals who experienced this. Yes.
Were we talking three or...
Isn't one too many? I got tired of looking at them because... I
went on the page and couldn't find it, but I'm sure you're a better.
Do you want me to name? I mean, I can name Leo Getz.
Oh, Leo Getz, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Leo Getz.
Leo Getz death threats now.
Leo Getz from Lethal Weapon 2? You think someone wasn't using a pseudonym?
I don't think it's the same.
They blank you at the drive-thru. They blank you. Are you kidding?
And they actually have a term they're using this when you get the positive test when you don't show up. It's called getting dailed.
Let's see. My wife's 978 text. My wife's hairdresser had the same thing happen. She waited. The wait was too long for the test, and she left, and then she got a notification that she was a positive. I guarantee you this is happening all over the place. Maybe I shouldn't guarantee it. Maybe as a journalist, I would suggest.
Maybe I'll backpedal on this.
I would suggest that this could theoretically be happening. Maybe there's nothing nefarious about it.
Oh, I'm sure.
Maybe it's just some kind of a mistake. Maybe somebody doesn't show up and you just send them the notification that they're positive for COVID. But it seems a weird situation where if you don't show up for your test, you're then notified that you're a positive. And I assume that those individuals are added to the positive daily cases in Massachusetts. Right, Ken? So in Southie last week, when these individuals made an appointment and didn't show up and then were notified that they were positive, how many additional cases would you guess were added to the positive cases here in Massachusetts?
I don't know, Alex Jones, how many?
But the thing here, Greg, though, is that look at how few cases you actually need in order to dramatically alter how your town approaches everything. It's 8 per 100,000. To get into a danger zone.
Yes.
So if this is 2 in Southie, all you need is 6 more.
Right.
Does anyone realize that there's something called the coronavirus that's going on that's contagious?
Yes, we do.
But
if you don't play danger zone, come
out. How does your town, your neighborhood benefit from having more COVID positives, be they these false Facebook community COVID positives or actual positives? I just don't see what the benefit is.
And by the way, Curtis, I don't even think you get 8 with South. If they count South Boston separately, the population of South Boston is under 34,000. So you get like 2.
So then that's all they need.
Right? Dose. Now, shut it down.
Here's somebody. Jeez. It's a read every text Wednesday. So
my favorite.
Here's somebody who says you have stooped to an all-time low.
Okay.
Nice.
No chance that those missed appointments were deemed positive results. I can't wait to see you suffering from this.
Oh, that's nice.
Jeez.
That person is wishing suffering on myself.
Maybe that person should stop using the R word casually. It's 2020. Because yesterday they said, "I'm praying for the day when one or more of you R's gets the virus." Praying,
really?
Multiple exclamation
praying
points.
Why would you pray for the day that somebody whose POV might differ from yours gets a virus?
Oh, let's see what
coronavirus
else we have.
Actually kills people.
This is Peter. Hello, Peter.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up, Peter?
I was listening about the about the testing results. So my boss, his wife, and three children were going to travel, so they made appointments to get tested. When they got to the testing site, it was about an hour or so wait, so they didn't want to wait, so they just left. They all got letters in the mail. They thought they were rescheduling letters, but they were all positive result test letters.
Hmm.
And they did they show them to you or just tell you? Because people are
no,
going
to
say
them to me.
They showed them to you.
No, he showed them. Yeah, they showed them all positive. And he called him and his wife. They called up to say, you know, we got these letters in the mail, and the women were saying, oh, we're very sorry, but a lot of people are testing positive. And he told them, listen, we didn't even take the test. And then, you know, after that, they got sent to a supervisor. And I don't know what happened after that because I've been out of work for the last 2 weeks on vacation. But
yeah.
I just thought it was very – people. A lot of people are saying they're just juicing the numbers for to get Trump on. I don't know what's going on with all
know.
That.
I
think
Trump
it was crazy.
Oh, there's the
there we go.
There it is. There it is. Fitzy, you were asking the question.
Mm-hmm. Kay Harris has signed all of these, right?
Uh-huh.
Oh, but that's okay, because Kay Harris died last Sunday. Kamala, the Ugandan giant. Same last name.
Yes, that's right. That's true. That same 508 texter also last week said, Wiggy, can't wait till you get the COVID, homie. Try blasting Fauci when you're coughing up a lung, dumbass.
Wow. That's a nice thing to say to a fellow human being.
Jesus. Oh, man. That was
on planet Earth.
How's your karmic bank account?
Boy, that was a weird thing for Kurt Warner to send in.
Aw.
He's still salty about Super Bowl.
Let's see. Here's somebody
who
says,
Jesus
Greg.
Jesus loving guy, too.
This texter says, Greg, please only use POV if it's porn related.
Yeah, thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Sorry.
And please don't do that.
The term
either.
Is point of view. So, it was used. I hate to break it to you, but it was used before Pornhub. Let's see. Here's a text that says, I heard yesterday that pasta was counted as 5 positive tests for the city of Boston. Yes. Yes.
Can't believe Matt Light's using Leo Getz as a pseudonym. It's unbelievable.
Well, I mean, how many people have to weigh in on this and say that it happened to them or someone that they know before questions are asked? Do you think any questions will be asked about this? I'm not saying that it's an evil conspiracy. I'm just suggesting that if you're somebody who made an appointment for a free test and you didn't show up and then you get notification that you have tested positive, doesn't that skew the numbers?
Yes.
In a
terrifying direction. Yes.
Yeah.
Did anybody on the South Boston Community Bulletin Facebook page ask or find out from said source what went wrong? I mean, did they inquire as to why they got a false positive?
I don't know.
I tried calling. I couldn't get any answers. That if you Google though, there are stories about things like that happening across the country. Whether or not they're true, I don't know, but it's not like it's just isolated to that incident. There are stories over the last month all across the U.S. of places being like, oh, these people said they went in and they got a positive response, but they never took a test. You know, 10,000 people got letters saying this. And
well, I mean, it could be laboratory error. Mm-hmm. I mean, in Florida, there was that lab where 100% of the people who took the test were positive, mm-hmm. and they acknowledged, Ken, that that was an error.
Right.
Let's see. This is Bobby. Hello, Bobby.
How you doing?
What's up, Bobby?
Nothing. I'm a firefighter. I'm not saying that the virus isn't real. It's definitely real.
Yeah.
But just when you had started talking about the false test, I knew 3 people myself. My neighbor has 2 that went in. Same thing. They left, got the letter in the mail saying they're positive. It's just, it's a little crazy. I mean, I've seen sick people myself. It's definitely real. But I definitely think something else is driving this besides. I know Ken's not going to believe whatever it is, but it's exactly. It seems like it's more political now this year than it is. I don't know. It's just, it's getting a little crazy with these false positives.
And you're a firefighter.
Yeah.
And so you know, what'd you say, 3 people who made the
3
appointment.
People myself.
Including yourself.
Waited in line. Not me. I didn't wait in line, but it's 3 close friends waited in line, left. And 2 days later, they got a letter in the mail. And they actually called me up hysterical.
Huh.
What the hell's going on here?
Yeah.
Do you know Leo Getz, Bobby?
I do, from Lethal Weapon. He's a great guy. Whatever Leo wants, Leo gets.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I mean, is this the kind of thing that one should not bring up for discussion?
I think this would be the first thing I would do if I were a journalist in the city of Boston today, is I would get to the bottom of this. We are making decisions and basing these results to make those decisions that are impacting the lives and the livelihoods of millions of people in the Boston area. Mm-hmm. And that is not an overstatement. That is an actual fact. We are using this data to decide what we are doing with our schools.
I think we should all make an appointment for testing and then not show up and see what happens. Okay. What do you think about that?
Sure, sounds good.
That's the way.
We'll go for number three.
Well, that's the way the that's the way Woodward and Bernstein did it. They mm-hmm. went. Didn't they go?
Signing up for testing was a difficult challenge for you a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
No.
Oh, now
there was a line.
It wasn't a
difficult
challenge
Ken.
For me.
You pulled up.
I was,
there were too many people, and you pulled away.
It
was that scared him. Uh-huh. It was that gathering of people.
No. Yes. Ken, can you tell me the logic? Oh, we got into this, I think, briefly on the show, but I'm happy to get into it again.
Yay.
I had one freaking dinner with David Pasternak and maybe like some sort of a little quick celebration thing afterwards. And
is that what you call it?
Yes. Yes. And so then there is some concern that David Pasternak is a positive. So then I am deemed automatically to also be a positive.
Mm-hmm.
So I, in the interest of courtesy and respect for all others that mm-hmm. I work with, mm-hmm. I say, you know what? I'll go get a test. Then I go to the place and there's 80 of the, no disrespect, but 80 of the sickest people that I've probably ever seen in my life standing in line. Well, I don't understand the logic in getting, I feel great. Why am I going to get in line with 80 sick people that are coughing through their mask all over the place?
A, were they in of doors or were they out of doors?
They were out of doors.
They were out of doors. Okay, so it doesn't spread as much out of doors. And not sure if you've heard this, but the data suggests that up to 40% of people who are COVID positive could be asymptomatic. And therefore, you could be spreading it unwittingly.
I guess so. I mean, maybe I am an asimp.
But this gets back to a larger issue.
I'm called a simp all the time. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm an asimp.
You are a simp. You and Curtis don't want to hear this, but the federal government should have done a better job of testing mm-hmm. across the board. There are testing issues. We know this across
the
country.
I don't think they can do a better job. If you don't even get the test, you're 100% positive.
Well,
that seems like they're doing a pretty good job.
How about some funding for testing? How about
it seems like they're doing
uniform
a really good
procedures?
Job.
Greg, you really missed a good time getting the test. I mean, you wait in line, and then you sit in your car, and then you roll down your window, and you're like, oh, am I getting takeout? Oh, no, somebody's going to jam a yardstick with a little tickler, a brain tickler at the end.
Oh,
and then a single tear rolls down your eye, and then you can't smell anything for a while. Oh, it's the best.
Now, here's a fellow journalist texting in who says, we're hearing a lot of someone I know.
Yes.
That's true.
Yep.
Please put out a request right now for anybody who has a copy of the positive letter
mm-hmm.
or positive email to share it. Okay, I will put that request out.
Oh, and it's signed Stephen Glass.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, it's George.
Let's see. Many hospitals have the drive-through testing now. Mm-hmm. Try going to one of those. I'm very familiar with how to make it through a drive-through and get the desired result when you go to the drive-thru?
You're really not, because you leave before you check your order.
I'm at Leo Getz's Facebook profile,
mm-hmm.
and this guy is 100% accurate.
Yeah.
His little bio says, I'm just a simple man with a vision. Why would he lie?
Mm-hmm.
And he looks to be a Castle Island, a great spot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
And he works for JetBlue, a great airline.
Yay.
Oh, sure.
Look at that. And he's friends with Spaz.
Was he a former
producer?
Oh, is he friends with Spaz?
And Wiggy.
Okay.
Oh. Maybe we know where the source is then.
Maybe we should send Spaz down there to take a test.
And Stiz.
You know what I'm
getting
thinking?
Suspect.
Is
this your burner account? Is Leo Getz your burner?
His name is Leo Getz. Oh, wow. Look at this. Oh, he's friends with Roger Murtaugh and Martin Riggs, too. Come on. What are we doing?
He's part of a group that says Fire Downstairs Joe.
I did not join that group.
Speaking of vacations, as we were earlier,
mm-hmm.
I think, and I'm not suggesting anything here, but aren't you and Curtis going on vacation the same week?
Okay.
So I was thinking that.
But yeah, let's take a left down that road.
I was thinking that maybe when I was thinking that maybe when Curtis is gone, Spaz ought to fill in for him with Ken.
That would
producing
be great.
The
oh
show.
My God, that would be great. That would be great. It would be, and no discredit to Ken because he's very good with this stuff, but it would be probably the best throwback audio drop week ever. Like, anybody who's new to the show would not get most of the drops, but Spazzy would unearth some of the most amazing old show drops.
And for those who say, like, this is a sports station, you don't talk enough sports in the morning, you'd really want to tune in that week.
Yes.
Well, it'll be interesting to get Spaz's take when it comes to sports.
Can one not share an opposing viewpoint on a sports radio station in the AM drive time?
By the way, Curtis, we have a guest coming up on college football and the cancellation, the potential cancellation thereof.
Yeah, Pete Thamel broke the Big Ten news yesterday. He's been all over the ACC's decision to try and keep playing, and he'll be joining us at 8:30.
Okay, this is David. Hello, David.
Good morning.
What's
Thanks
up?
For taking my call.
What's going on?
How you doing?
Good.
So, I'm driving down the road. I've been listening to you guys every day now for a few months. I'm usually giggling and laughing.
Yes.
Until you mentioned the story about the false positive letters. I mean, the positive letters.
Yes.
I wanted you guys to consider something. And I don't. I wear my mask. I try to be a good guy about it. I try to be polite and do what I'm told. But I'm also the manager of a large company, and I have a team of people. If one of my technicians comes in and has a positive letter, I have to notify everyone who works with them. They get paid to stay home for 14 days. I have to hire a cleaning company to deep clean the sites that they were at for us. And I think if you consult Larry the lawyer, if that story is at all true and accurate, which I believe you're telling, you know, you're giving an accurate description of what's going on. I think it's going to be a huge issue.
Yeah. Well, I'm just sharing what Leo Getz and George Glass said on Facebook.
Yeah.
Just what we need. Another excuse for Greg to have Larry the lawyer on.
Oh. All right. Well, anyway.
Wow.
I demand some kind of an investigation on what happened in the Southie testing conspiracy. More on that perhaps later. Right now, Ken and what is trending.
The Greg Hill Show, morning 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
We could all use a little extra money. Find Mass Money is a free service of the state treasurer's office. It's got over $3 billion worth of unclaimed property. Could be yours. Find yours at findmassmoney.com.
We have a little breaking news.
Okay.
As Adam Schefter, quote, shall we say, moments ago, Washington football team announces there will be no fans in the stands for the 2020 season.
Huh. Okay.
That's a big one.
Patriots still hoping to get 12 to 14,000 in there. We'll see.
I mean, I think that hope is pretty much fading by the day, wouldn't you say? I mean, just the fact that, I don't know, maybe in some states where the numbers are quote-unquote good.
Yeah, maybe in some states. Probably not here in Massachusetts.
I don't know. Baker's saying full go with schools if you're green and white.
Is Foxborough a green light? Look up Foxborough and see if they're a green or a white.
You made it to Banners last night.
Yes.
You sort of called them out earlier for being a bar masquerading as a restaurant.
Well, that's the governor. The governor says that these sports bars and bars are all masquerading as restaurants. But Banners has great food.
Were people upset at the Bruins game cancellation, the postponement?
Yeah. There was actually a lot. I was really encouraged by the amount of people that were out wanting to watch the Bruins play playoff hockey last night, and people were really upset. But you got an 11 o'clock game today, which I think is great.
Yeah, 11 a.m. faceoff. Here's Cassidy discussing the cancellation.
I mean, it's obviously strange to wait that long and then find out you may or may not play. Then you start thinking, well, is it going to be productive to play at 10 o'clock at night? You start thinking of the safety of the players, the ice conditions, a number of different things. Having said that, what are the options to not play?
Would you have been okay if before the playoffs began they said, we're capping it at a couple overtimes. We're going to shootouts. Shootouts to decide these games. It's a different year anyway. We're changing rules. Just deal with it. We can't play five overtime games.
Well, yeah, but I would have preferred that they go to 4-on-4 because I think that would have ended quicker, don't you?
You're probably right. And then 3-on-3? Or is that too wacky?
Sure. No. I mean, that's fine with me.
Take a guy off, period.
Listen, it was if you're a fan of the Lightning or the Blue Jackets, you loved that game last night. I mean, or if you're a hockey fan.
You got two and a half full games.
Yeah.
Mutt's going to step in with Andy Hart 10 to 2 for us, so Dale can do Nesson, and then Dale will join Lou and Wiggy after the game for some Bruins reaction. Rays and Red Sox do it again, 3-3 out of 4 tonight, 6:30 pregame on the Shaws and Star Market, WEI Red Sox Radio Network. An 8-2 loss yesterday, the Red Sox dropping to 6-11. Celtics with a fourth straight win, they beat the Grizz. Tatum, 10 of 13. good to see. 4 of 5 from 3, 29 points, look good. Your guy Time Lord Fitzy is stepping up with better minutes, maybe getting a little deeper bench. The bigger issue, though, was Kemba Walker with the Yankees cap, which is just still stunning to me.
That'll be forgiven all in time. Plus, it's 2020, four World Series. We don't have the same adjutant angst that we used to. Did you see, by the way, the Greek freak, Giannis, who we believe that the officials called unfairly against the Celtics, finally got rung up and thrown out of a game last night. It took him headbutting another player in front of a referee.
That was a nasty headbutt.
It really was, too.
Boom.
It was.
That's outlawed in UFC still,
isn't it? With Andy Hart. I hate this guy. This is my new favorite player to hate in the NBA.
Is there a headbutt that is not nasty? I mean, isn't it by its nature nasty?
It's right out there with a foot stomp for the eye gouge.
Oh.
Patriots placed linebacker Brandon King on the PUP list. He'll be out 6 weeks of the season at least. Yep. Special teamer. They added Darius Kilgo, a defensive lineman. Big 10 and Pac-12 we'll be discussing coming up next with our guest, Pete Sable.
And by the way, Schefter correction, the Washington football team having no fans in the stands is not COVID-related. Oh. That's from a texter.
Oh, so said everyone on Twitter.
Are we positive about that? I hate me.
It's the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Joining us now on the Harbor One Hotline, Pete Thamel of Yahoo, who has been all over college football and what may or may not happen. Pete, thanks for being on this morning. How are you?
I'm great, Greg. It takes an apocalypse for college football to be talked about in Boston, and here we are. It's an apocalypse.
You have the Big Ten is done. Looks like Pac-12 following suit.
Yep.
There are conferences which say they're going to play. What is your guess going forward when it comes to the reaction if they end up ACC, SEC end up playing football?
So in the micro, the Big 12 is kind of viewed like the swing state in the election, and last night their presidents met and they elected to push forward. And the ACC and SEC have said they're gonna try to give it a shot. In the macro, I'm pretty skeptical we're gonna see a college football season of any significance this season. I think the untenable variable that sort of loomed over this whole scenario the whole time is what happens when 20,000 students show up on campus, and even if a small percentage of them bring the virus with them, that's it's a pretty decent size. Sample size in a very obviously small area. It's going to be a lot harder to, a lot of these schools have sort of created quasi bubbles and they have guys locked in. There's nobody else on campus. There are a couple schools. BC's done a great job. They've essentially not had any positive tests in a month or so. The data's been great. All that gets more difficult for places like that have really established protocols, social discipline, all that stuff. Just gets a lot harder. So I would be surprised. Some leagues could start, Greg. I don't think we're going to see anyone finish.
Hmm. So, Pete, do you think this is really about player safety, or is it more about liability, or could this be also it's a combination and there's maybe fear among some of the bigger schools or the NCAA at large that the players, who really seem to be in solidarity here, could be trying to push forward with that college player union that a lot of us think they would benefit from?
Yeah, I don't think this has anything to do with the player association movement that we saw the other day. That's a little conspiracy theory for me. I mean, it is a global pandemic, and one coach said it to me this way. He said, "We're doing for 3 hours a day what they're telling everyone else in America not to do," which is essentially full contact football practice. Mm-hmm. And so there is, there are some paradoxical things. But look, there's obviously the first thing people say is, well, why can the NFL do it and not college? I think people around the NFL think that this is going to be a very disruptive NFL season, where all of a sudden you got to pull a couple guys from, Villanova, Salem State, and UNH, and put them on the offensive line for the Patriots because there's some kind of outbreak in not just obviously in New England, but it can happen anywhere. And I really just think that there were myriad issues, but it was always going to be a slog to get in a season amid a pandemic, and that college age kids are the ones during this kind of so-called second wave. That age group has been the one that has really flashed in the virus numbers. So I don't think it's a huge surprise to anyone that we've gotten here. And I think liability is a huge factor. Safety is a huge factor. It's a confluence of things.
Pete, two questions here. One is, why does it seem like that this out of the blue a week ago or even 72 hours ago, up until that point, we all thought that college football was going to be played in some form. And then it was like these presidents had never even met the entire summer to discuss with the other presidents in their conferences to see what the outcome was going to be. And the second question would be, if the ACC plays like they say they're going to do, and Boston College is scheduled to host, say, Duke on September 19th, will they actually be able to do that? Like, have they even had communication with Mayor Walsh or Governor Baker to have that come to fruition?
So the first question, I don't agree with the premise. There's been a billion meetings, like constant meetings. Like, they may not have risen to your attention, but this, I mean, even the Big Ten released their schedule a week ago, and their schedule release said, this does not guarantee our schedule will be played. I don't think people were whistling in the dark here. I think it's been, it's been properly stated that everyone's going to go forward pragmatically, but there has always been an overtone of pessimism about the season being played. And second, for example, one of the reasons why the Pac-12 shut down yesterday was basically the California schools are in areas that have really been ravaged by the virus. So they can't gather in groups of 50 or more, like in LA. Like, essentially, UCLA can't practice. So eventually you're not going to be able to play if you can't practice, right? And that inevitability just sort of was, that inevitability just happened because there was no way for the team to gather just because of the state, local restrictions there. I live in Boston. Things up here have been obviously lifted, and there are going to be state and local regulations that need to be followed everywhere. And I think Boston's probably in one of the better shapes of anyone right now, just in terms of places to be able to play with no fans. I would think that's just the way things have unfolded here. It's certainly not it's not great, but it's much better than if you look at Houston right now, or Austin, or Los Angeles, or some different cities. So I know BC officials have been in communication with local and government officials, and if the schedule were to be able to proceed, it's my understanding they'd be able to play with no issues.
Pete, are there D1 college coaches that you talk to who believe this is the right decision?
It's been a really interesting, really interesting to just get some windows into these guys' minds. Some guys desperately want to play, and some guys desperately don't want to play because
really?
They think it's dangerous. Yeah. It's, they obviously want to play, but considering the scenario, they don't think it's safe. So I desperately don't want to play is probably not the right term. But there's some guys that just think it's a wild idea, and they don't think it's safe. It's 130 schools. I think it's in 43 states. You have every realm of the political spectrum, every realm of the geographic spectrum. You have a little bit of everything in college football. It's one of the things that that makes it great. But I would literally be talking to one coach, and he'd be passionately arguing for playing, and then another coach would call 5 minutes later, and he'd be passionately arguing to not play.
I mean, you're playing a sport in which you are assuming considerable risk to your health just by getting on the field. What if it's not the liability, what makes this different?
Yeah, I think ultimately the phrase health and safety of the student athletes has been overused so much that you know, people are snickering at it now, but I really think that's behind this. And we still, I mean, we know nothing about this virus generally, right? 4 or 5 months in, whatever we are. We know really absolutely nothing about how a virus would travel during a contact football practice. Because essentially, if they've happened in the last week or two. And so, I mean, the NFL doesn't know. I got NFL coaches texting me wondering what the college guys are doing. College guys are wondering what the NFL guys are doing. As the NFL evolves and moves on, we're going to learn a lot. Are we going to see a situation in the NFL or college where one guy gets it, there's just a normal full contact padded football practice, and all of a sudden 35 guys get it? We don't know. So there's not a lot of empirical evidence about the virus in football now, and it's going to be learning on the fly, and that scares college administrators.
Pete, if the Big 12 and ACC play, will there be transfers, and what will that process look like? Do you think we'll see a talent migration to other conferences?
It's a great question. I would think that, like, when the MAC canceled the other day, within, like, 5 hours, a MAC assistant coach called me and said, yeah, we already got schools trying to poach our guys. And I was like, well, that's just perfect, right? In terms of the Big 12, ACC, and SEC, will guys go from the Big 10 there? I don't have a sense of that right now. On our podcast last night, Dan Wetzel made a great point. He said, if you have to quarantine for 14 days when you arrive at one of these places, there's a pretty good chance the season's going to get canceled while you're in quarantine, right? And then all of a sudden you've, like, uprooted your life, transferred, gone to a strange place. You don't know your coaches, teammates, et cetera. All of a sudden you're sitting in Lubbock, Texas, and you've transferred somewhere formally, and then the season gets canceled. If there were going to be transfers, I would think some of them would be graduate transfers. But there is some assumed risk to go to a place where you think's going to have a season, when I would say there's a fairly good chance there's not going to be a season. So that's going to be a fascinating test. And I'm sure we will see some. I don't know if we'll see a flood, just because of the general pessimistic nature of the marketplace right now.
And is your best guess that some of these conferences start the season and then don't finish, or that the pressure just becomes too much and the rest of them cancel as well?
I mean, this is all a guess, right? I'm not an epidemiologist. I you know, you can't see the future, but you have right now 4 of the 10 leagues that aren't playing. I think it's 53 or 130 schools that have essentially canceled within 72 hours. Yeah. UMass, UConn being two of the independents that have gone that route. It's just hard to see that trend stopping, right? That you're gonna play a sport where 53 schools say they can't, and then the other, you know, 70 something right now think they can. It just from a pure logic perspective doesn't make a lot of sense. So if I had to guess on your question, I would guess no. I guess there's a much better chance of nobody starting the season than anybody finishing the season.
Will spring football work as an option, Pete? And what about the two seasons close together if they would go that route? Is there a concern about that?
Two great questions, and those are the two hot questions right now amongst the leagues that just canceled. Spring football could work. There has been one of the biggest leadership failures through all this in college football is that very few places really drilled down on what spring football would look like. They obviously had 3 months where this cancellation was a very viable option. And there has not been a ton of work on that, not nearly enough work on that, considering the chances of the reality of it happening. So I think it could work. I think it would look different. I think it would only be 8 games. The health concerns are huge. Nobody really dove into what it would be like to play 2 seasons in 1 calendar year, like you would essentially have to do. I do think in many ways, it bleeds into 2021, which perpetuates the financial issues that this is going to cause. I mean, this is going to be massive devastation to these athletic departments financially around the country. And so, you know, one of the arguments being bantered around right now is, do you have a truncated spring and then it interrupts what you hope and pray is a quote unquote normal fall, and normal meaning fans in the stands, which is obviously a huge revenue driver, and then a full schedule. Or if you go 8 and then have to play 10 and start late and drop games. I remember an AD telling me early in this, he was kind of chuckling at all these people running around to take like 5% pay cuts or whatever it was. And, you know, he's like, we have no idea what the damage is. He said, if we just lost 2 football games, it would just be an exponential part of our budget. Never mind the whole season. Never mind the TV revenue. Never mind, like, just 2 home football games are a giant piece of budget. So, I mean, football revenue at most places, primarily because of television, accounts for about 85-90%. So, yeah, you know, the loss of, and that's back of the napkin math. It varies, but, you know, it varies by place. Some places on ticket revenue alone at your Ohio States and Florida is in the $40-50 million range.
Wow. Well, they'll just crank up the tuition. That's the way they do that. Yeah. All right, Pete, thank you. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Greg. Appreciate you guys having me.
All right.
Thank you, Pete.
Pete Thamel, Yahoo, no college football.
Great.
Dunsky.
No. Dunsky?
Dunsky.
That's
Dunsky.
Terrific ski.
Spring.
Dunsky.
8 games in the spring.
And then what are you going to do? Like the Senior Bowl and every other showcase these kids have, not
push
to mention
back.
The whole season. They're not going to be able to push it back because
why?
The NFL is a monolith. It's
their feeder system. This is their free feeder system. They will bend over backwards to make college football happen.
Bring on NFL Saturday. Bring it on.
There you go. But that's a bit of positive.
Saying that they will bend over backwards, the NFL is already replacing Saturday with their own games. They're already taking over that vacuum.
Well, they know they can't save the fall. It's just unsavable.
Well, they're the Big 12, the ACC, and the SEC. The SEC has more pros in that conference than any other conference in the country.
Did you listen to Pete? It's not happening.
I kind of tuned out halfway through.
Oh, jeez.
All right. We're going to take a break, but we will be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is The Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Well, with the Bruins game being moved to 11, Dale will be working for Nesson and not on today, so it's Mutt coming up at 10.
Mutt and Andy Hart, 10 to 2, yes, sir.
Okay.
Must listen.
And then Dale will do, he'll be on postgame with OMF, I'm assuming.
Right. Okay. Lou and Wiggy, I believe.
Okay.
So check in after the game for Dale.
You think the back-to-back hurts the Bruins because they're an older team?
Maybe. They were the only, I believe they were the only series that didn't have a back-to-back, so they were going to get kind of a nice, cushy every other night. That's gone now. You could be right about that, especially guys like Chara that have to, you know, ramp it up and then turn around.
I think if you're somebody like Lou or Wiggy, who was disappointed in the round robin performance, then maybe you're a little concerned that they now have to play today and tomorrow night. I mean, maybe.
But honestly,
old man Chara,
those excuses aren't going to fly, right? If you lose to Carolina, nobody will care. You
know, no.
Suck it up and play. Win at 11, whatever. Play a back to back. Get the job done.
I mean, if you don't get back to the finals, anything else is a disappointment based on the fact you were there last year.
How does puck luck factor into a bubble type of arena?
Why? A better question is, why can't you bubble your NHL playoff teams in an area where there is more than one rink?
That
would be a
logical.
That is a better question, I think.
Aren't there a ton of rinks in Toronto?
I'm amazed by how many people are upset that they didn't just play that game last night, regardless of what time it was. People are really upset about that.
They don't have jobs, the people that are upset about it.
No, I mean, I think it's actually the people who have jobs that are upset about it. The people who would have stayed up if that game started at 10:47 or whatever last night.
Would have gone till 1, 2 in the morning. Yeah. Remember that game 1 of the 2013 Stanley Cup Finals between the Blackhawks and the Bees, was that a triple or a quadruple overtime? Went to like 3 in the morning. I stayed up.
No, I mean, listen, if you're a hockey fan, then you're watching the West Coast games playoff time anyway. I mean, you're talking about a 10 o'clock start. It's not that far off. I mean, I don't know. I get it. I think the issue is more the issue was the guy sitting around, right? I mean, you're getting ready. You're into your pregame routine, ready to play a game, and then you got to sit around for another hour. I mean,
they were there at 5 o'clock, eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, whatever.
Right. The World Health Organization
I apologize,
Stevens, everybody.
Just issued an advisory that you should not go to the dentist. So,
I got a cleaning next week. Should I cancel it?
Those of you. They cannot ensure your safety yet when it comes to going to the dentist.
Yeah.
So they are now advising that you do not go to the dentist.
I have a question. Am I going to get a rebate on my dental insurance since it covers 2 preventive cleanings a year?
I don't know.
I had to move my March cleaning to August because of COVID.
Yeah,
and if they bump this.
I'm sure they'll send that check to you.
Right away. Toot sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, the mayor of Gloucester wants you to not be on your boat. Or at least not close to any other boats.
Really?
Yes.
What happened in Gloucester?
Well, you've got the rafts, the flotillas.
Oh.
Everybody ties up their boats.
Oh, yeah. The out-of-control gatherings on the flotillas.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
was that a problem in Gloucester over the weekend?
The mayor, Safathia Romeo Tankin, said she told Channel 7 that she's tired of everyone's baloney.
Oh.
I'm tired of everyone's baloney. If you want to go on the ocean, respect it. Just because it's open doesn't mean it's all yours. I don't know what I can do anymore except to tell people, you know what? I don't care. When did this disease become politics?
She's the mayor?
She's the mayor.
She won't stand for baloney.
No baloney. She's tired of your baloney, Curtis.
What? She tweeted Dan Rather talking about a sea of deadly virus, and she said, speaking of sea, they think COVID doesn't go out to sea. They've been rafting boats and gathering like it's a big swimming pool with boats when the raft. I'm reading this verbatim. Uh-huh. Just because being outside is low risk doesn't mean there isn't one. Facepalm emoji.
Anyone tell her about like the Ozarks where they had like hundreds of boats all pulled in together
and
with
no
people
outbreak.
Just crushing seltzers and...
They were dealing cocaine or whatever in those Bibles.
It was heroin.
Oh, heroin.
Yeah, it was heroin.
Allegedly.
I mean,
Darlene.
I don't know. Are you safe on a boat? I don't know. I mean, when it comes
to
the risk,
when there's like 40 other people next to you, probably. But
well, no. But they're not all on the same boat. I mean, people are going to a sandbar, or in this case, I think it's on a river.
No, mm-hmm. It's a sand restaurant masquerading as a bar.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, in the Anasquam River.
But their boats aren't near each other.
Grenades and one cooler.
Can we all agree that we may not know what's going on, but this mayor sure as hell has no clue what she's talking about?
Oh, I'm tired of everyone's baloney.
Right. Me too.
Well, who's giving her the baloney?
Who ran against her?
I don't know, Leo Curtis. Getz. I mean, yeah.
Spicer, probably Spicer.
I like Mayor Spicer in Framingham.
I do, too.
For the real story, always speak to Spicer.
Holy cow, this woman looks exactly as you may expect.
Easy,
cow.
Curtis, easy.
What does that mean, Curtis?
I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
Just move on, move along.
Yep. He's a very
not the droids
nice,
you're looking for.
Person.
Come on, Curtis.
Not great, Bob.
Here's a nine,
breakfast sandwich.
Here's a 978 text directed at the WHO. Mm-hmm. The dentist, you mean the people who are in masks and gowns all day? Yes. That's not
and face
safe.
Shields.
It's not
have
safe.
Humongous face shields.
Yes. Not safe to go see the dentist for several months.
So what are we going to do when we have massive outbreaks of gingivitis and people with like root canals that are getting undone, cavities?
That's okay.
That's all right?
You can put that off.
Okay.
Yeah, put that off.
What about festering mouth sores?
Oh.
Germs.
What about Phyllis when she swallowed a crown?
I don't know. I mean, I just share the guidance. I mean, that's the latest guidance is do not go to the dentist.
Well,
I'm sure there are dentists who are listening who are upset, but I mean, this is the World Health Organization.
Now, if I make
Trump
a dent
out of there, so it doesn't apply. Anymore.
If I make a dental appointment and I don't show up for it, am I COVID positive?
Yes. You're going to get a notification,
and you're a rabid anti-dentite. Also,
dentamites.
Here's a text that says, "I love how the spring is the miraculous answer to all of our problems when it comes to Ken Laird." Yes,
because when this all started, the fall was when everything was going to be okay. Well, if you remember,
we're heading back to school. We flattened the curve here. And good news, Moscow's vaccine is just great reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Fauci loves it.
No, Fauci's very upset about the Moscow vaccine.
Yeah.
If Wiggy were here, he would tell you it's because he's not making any money off it.
Right.
Oh.
But
for God's sake.
Fauci yesterday said you can't trust the Ruskies when it comes to their vaccine.
Having a vaccine and proving that a vaccine is safe and effective are two different things. We have half a dozen or more vaccines. So if we wanted to take the chance of hurting a lot of people or giving them something that doesn't work, we could start doing this, you know, next week if we wanted to. But that's not the way it works. So I hope, but I haven't heard any evidence to make me feel that's the case. I hope that the Russians have actually definitively proven that the vaccine is safe and effective. I seriously doubt that they've done that.
I am seriously worried for Fauci's safety now. You do not cross Russia.
Yeah, that's it. Someone's going to poke him with an umbrella in the calf, and he's going to just crumple to the ground.
I'm going to scream more.
Don't speak of Mother Russia again, Fauci.
Well, Putin gave it to his own daughter. I mean, it must be safe.
She's
been inoculated.
That's the barometer I'm looking at.
After he scored 27 goals in an ice hockey match and rode a horse shirtless.
And by the way, the mayor of Gloucester is loving this newfound fame. She's retweeted this Channel 7 report like 15 times on her Twitter account.
Well, she's tired of the baloney.
Yes.
I mean,
can you imagine you're the mayor of a seaside community and you look out and you see people on their boats?
Get out.
In the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah. I like my baloney. I don't like other people's baloney.
The poor woman, she's trying to keep the town safe, and all of a sudden she looks out and there's people boating.
Mm-hmm. Quit playing dinghy.
Of all things during a global pandemic.
Is there a female Burgermeister in that movie of yours? Mm-hmm.
It's the Baloney Meister.
Yeah, she's the Baloney Meister. Curtis, I know you want to say it when it comes to burgers. I know you do. All right, we have got to take a break, but we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.